It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC, the legendary 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCbizradio.com. Our listeners know this show is about real ideas, real business strategy to get you ahead in today's business world. And tonight's guest is, we never let you down on the show, not yet, and we hope we never will, and certainly not tonight. With us in studio, well, first of all, actually, I just want to give my thank yous. Thank you to Matt behind the boards. Thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, who had a big hand in landing such a celebrity as tonight's guest. Meera Bauman, the show's content creator, who develops the questions, etc., does the research. Sroli Saflis is here with me in studio, handling video production. All the videos are up, by the way, on, shows are up on WABCbizradio.com, WABCbizradio.com. And the whole team at Bottom Line Marketing Group that plays a great role in the preparation and making sure that these special episodes are really special. Well, with us live in studio, we have none other than Linda Kaplan Thaler, the chairman of Publicis New York, best-selling author, and actually in the Advertising Hall of Fame. Special thank you to Jeffrey Hazlett, an incredible connector and a friend of both of ours, for also playing a role in this. Well, some background about our very distinguished guest. Linda was the founder and CEO of Kaplan Thaler Group. A few years ago, they joined up with Publicis, a billion-dollar operation, really one of the leading ad agencies in the world. Linda's behind some of very, very memorable and great advertising campaigns. We'll talk about them a little bit later on in the show. The Aflac campaign, Herbal Essence, Kodak, just to name a few. She also worked on several presidential campaigns, including the Clinton-Gore 92, Hillary Clinton 08, and we'll have some fun talking about politics soon. Last year, congratulations, Linda was inducted into the Advertising Hall of Fame. Linda is the author of several great best-selling books, and her most recent one, Grit to Great, How Perseverance, Passion, and Pluck Take You from Ordinary to Extraordinary. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you're guaranteed to walk away with real takeaways on creating successful marketing campaigns. We're going to talk about the role of traditional print versus online media, making a great idea go viral. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Linda Kaplan Thaler. Linda, thank you so much for being with me tonight.
What an amazing introduction. My mother could not have written a better introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome. It's really our honor and our treat. Let's jump right in. I mean, as chair of the U.S. flagship agency within the Publicis Worldwide Network. Wow, where do I begin? I'll just ask you a basic question, and then we'll work our way from here. What are the key components for creating a successful marketing campaign?
Well, you know, in this digital age, I think that there's a tendency to think very much on tactical things that will make the sale. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure that we drive this Google search into a way that we really get to the bottom of the funnel and make that sale. Unfortunately, by concentrating so much and by having so much research and analytics done on what's converting to sale, mm-hmm. you tend to lose the bigger picture, which is, what is this brand about? What does it stand for? And what you then do is you end up commoditizing your brand, because then the brand becomes, well, who's cheaper and how can I get it faster? As opposed to, I mean, years ago I wrote, you may remember the jingle, I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Yep.
At that point, I mean, that was many years ago. As a matter of fact, those kids are now in the commercial and now grandparents. But
I remember it.
You remember that song,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but close.
But the point was that even at that point, they had so many competitors with toy stores, and a Barbie was a Barbie anywhere you could buy it. You know, it's not much different today. And so we had to find a way to distinguish ourselves from everybody else. So we came up with this notion that when you go to Toys R Us, you will forever be a child. It was like the Peter Pan complex.
That's right.
And it worked. And if we did that campaign today, We would put that music on online, on watches, on wherever you could imagine, and you know, in the store where it is, I think until this day, it's, I think it's the longest running jingle in the United States.
Wow.
So the fact is that you've got to have, I always liken it to great branding is like a beautiful mirror. If you smash that mirror to the ground, you should be able to pick up the smallest shard of glass and still see your entire reflection. Right? And that's the most important thing that a lot of people are forgetting, is that if you don't have that brand essence that's really resonating and really has an emotional connection with customers, remember, they don't buy products anymore. They buy into what that product stands for. So if you're not doing that, then really you're only as good as, you know, whatever your price point's going to be that day.
Hmm. Now, okay, and this particular subject we're going to talk and kind of attack it from many different angles with someone of your stature here in the studio. To what extent would you say that a marketing campaign should be gutsy, in your face, creative, or do you recommend playing it safe?
Playing it safe is the absolute worst thing you can do.
Ah, I love
it. And but I really mean it. You know, everything that I've done pretty much is sort of set grounds where people were going, you can't do that. You know, when we created the advertising for Herbal Essences shampoo, I mean, there were a teeny little brand that was about to go up the shelves. And you mentioned that, you know, Steve Sadoff has been on this show.
Yes.
Well, he was the president of Clairol at the time.
Wow.
And up until that point, you know, Pantene was like, they were just, you know, $100 million in advertising. We had a teeny little budget. And we decided to yin when everybody was yanging. Instead of doing that end benefit, we said, well, you know what, let's talk about the actual process of washing your hair. And everybody went, well, what's so exciting about that? And I said, well, we could make it exciting. And we remembered that scene from Harry Met Sally, that rather organic experience that she had in the restaurant. And we said, okay, this woman's going to have a organic experience in the shower, and yes. And everybody laughed at us except for Steve, who saw that it got the highest recall score ever in the category, and within 6 months it was the number two product in the country. But you couldn't do that with it being bold. And by the way, we had to sell this to a room full of men at Clairol at the time, so there was me performing with the shower thing.
Well, I planned on asking this question a little bit later in the interview, but I'm going to have to ask the question now. How do you sell something that you know in your heart, in your kishkis, if I may, that this is the way to sell the product, but your client is not buying it? How hard do you push? Where do you draw a line? And we know this is the, you know, kind of the interplay between business and the creative field. How would you answer that question?
Well, first of all, that's pretty much been my entire career, is the client going, you're going to do what? You're going to do what with what? No. And that's usually a sign that we're onto something pretty good, because it's been different and it hasn't been done before in the category. So my attitude is always been the softer approach. You know, I'm very much for, I call it the yes sandwich. We talk about that in one of our other books that Robin Covell and I did. Robin Covell and I write all of our books together. Okay. It was called The Power of Nice. It's like, it's much easier to get what you want by creating this yes sandwich. So you start by saying, when the client says, that's ridiculous, I go, yes, that is true, that it is a little insane. But let me just push back for a minute and tell you why this particular insanity actually makes some rational sense. And then you go back to, you know, pushing it. And the other thing I like to do, you know, one of our most unpretentious presidents, Harry Truman, once said, you can accomplish anything in your lifetime as long as you're willing to not take credit for any of it.
Amazing.
So what I would do is throw my idea away and have the client come up with it. So I would say something that would be pretty outrageous, and then I would say, well, what's outrageous about it? And they would say, well, this and this and this and this and this. Well, what do you think would make it better? Well, maybe if you, great idea, love it. Why didn't I think of that? And, you know, you embrace it and somebody else helps own it. And at the end of the day, people would always laugh when we win an account. Everybody, including the client, said, I came up with that idea.
Right.
And I love it.
That's right. And
you know.
You know, just so amazing. In Ogilvy on Advertising, in there, he writes that to run an agency, you have to be a psychologist. So
yes, and I got my degree in psychology, actually. I got my master's in music, but my degree in psychology. People go, well, how did that benefit? I said, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's like we talk a lot in a lot of the research that Robin and I have done on reading faces, facial cues, and I can read. I was in a new business meeting once, and we were bombing, and we noticed in our very emotional campaign, we mentioned the word science. It was a pharmaceutical campaign. Okay. And the client, I actually saw his pupils start to dilate. You know, women are really good at this because they read cues from infants before they can talk. And I nudged Robin under the table because she saw the same pupil dilation. And I wrote to her a little note. I said, it's all about science now. And we said to him, well, we have all of this work, but, you know, the real thing is the benefit, you know, of the scientific research that's been done about the product. And I inverted all the work, and the stuff that was buried, I made the theme. And, you know, the other people in the room couldn't believe, people in the agency were like, what the hell is she doing? And he looked at me and he said, how did you must have been reading my mind. I was just thinking that. I said, good point. And we won the business.
That's the voice of Linda Kaplan Thaler, the chair of Publicis, one of the leading agencies in the world. I can't thank you enough for being with me here on Mind Your Business, 77 WABC. Let's go to a couple more questions before we take a commercial break. You're the brain behind many well-known advertising campaigns. We're going to go to the Aflac one because that one is just so talked about, so memorable, so crazy, if I may say, different, creative. Matt, let's go to the clip.
Deep breath in, exhale. Aflac. Liberate your spine.
Aflac. Not that great at yoga.
When I slipped a disc, he paid my claim before I knew it.
So he had your back.
Yep.
In just one day, we approve and pay. One day pay, only from Aflac.
Well, Linda.
Aflac.
There we go. Let's talk about this story. Now, I heard you talk about it in C-Suite in San Francisco. Again, a shout out to Jeffrey Hazard there.
Hey, Jeffrey. We love you.
Yes, that's, and he will be retweeted and tweeted, and he'll know about this interview. Let's talk about the Aflac campaign. Let's even go over down memory lane, how we talked about earlier in this interview. You ran into, the Aflac, you what?
Exactly.
This is a insurance company?
Exactly. So we were a relatively unknown company. We were very tiny, and by dint of something nice I had done for something several years ago, someone suggested that we pitch it. And they had given us all of these. They had spent 10 years, millions and millions of dollars worth of advertising, and they still only had a 3% awareness. Okay, that's not a good use of funds. So we went into the briefing with all the other agencies, and they said to us, they gave us mounds of research. We want very emotional advertising that makes people cry, and we want you to talk about the policies. And so, you know, Robin and I looked at each other, and we're thinking, well, that's what they've been doing, and they still have 3% awareness. It's a hard name to remember, right? It's an acronym.
Right, Aflac.
American Family Life Insurance Company. So we went a little bit further, something we talk about in our book, Good to Great. We decided to ask the CEO if we could have like a little private meeting with him. And Dan Amos, lovely man, family-owned company. We said, Dan, we got all the research, reams and reams of research, but what keeps you awake at night? That's a great question to ask clients.
Yeah.
And he said, what keeps me awake at night is that even my own relatives cannot remember the name of this company. I said, well, you know, Dan, we're going to put everything aside. And the one thing we're going to do, you know, they could ask questions online about the insurance and all that, is we're going to get America to remember the name Aflac. He said, well, if you do that, he said, I don't care if you show a naked man tap dancing on a roof. That would be great. We went back to the agency and we kept telling everybody. And remember, there was no awareness of the company. And they kept saying, what are we pitching? And I keep going, Aflac, Aflac. Aflac. How many times do I have to say this? Aflac. So one of our art directors, Eric David, brilliant art director, pinches my nose. And by the way, we're a very relaxed company, so it's no problem to pinch the CEO's nose. And he said, say that again. And I went, Aflac. Well, apropos of nothing, Linda, you know you sound like a duck quacking. And I said, that's it. That's how America's going to remember the name. And they wrote this brilliant commercial at a park bench where the duck kept saying it and nobody could hear him. And then, you know, the guy said, what do we do for our next commercial? I said, our next commercial will be no one ever, you know, it's the underduck. It's us. He represents us who are not understood and nobody hears us. So, of course, Dan thought we were crazy and he wouldn't even test it.
Well, he challenged you.
He challenged us and he said, I'm not putting that on the air. This is, you know, we cannot have a duck as our insurance salesman. And he wouldn't even test it. So we decided to pay the $35,000 and said, well, we're going to test it ourselves.
Wow.
And he said, well, go ahead. You know, I really got to hand it to it. To people who were spending, and we didn't have that kind of money to spend,
right,
so
right.
It was hard. And the score came back with the highest recall score. It was done through ARS, and
okay.
ARS actually called me on the phone because they thought they had made a mistake. It broke the bank. It broke the insurance category. They gave us the business, and the duck went from 3%, I mean, sales have gone through the roof, but the duck awareness of Aflac went from 3% to 96% awareness in under 2 years and became so well known that now when ducks see other ducks, they immediately think of supplemental insurance. So you know you've done something successful. We're very proud of that.
Unreal. Right before we go to a commercial break, just wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, my guest here in studio tonight is Linda Kaplan-Thaler, chairman of Publicis New York. I forgot to mention a special thank you to last week's guest, Eric Enquist from Crane's New York Business, who was my guest last week. Special thank you to Eric. And that podcast is up on WABC Biz Radio. That's the easiest way to get it, WABCBizRadio.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Best Payroll delivers the affordable payroll solutions you need so that you could focus on your business. Today's payroll laws are complicated and constantly changing. Why should you have to worry about keeping yourself up to date with these details when you can rely on Best Payroll's fully bonded tax service to take care of it for you? Best Payroll has been managing the payroll needs of small to mid-sized companies across the country since 1989. Their experienced and dedicated professionals are committed to providing you with cost-effective payroll management solutions. Why spend your time, money, and effort handling your business's payroll when you could rely on Best Payroll to get the job done right at a price you can't beat? To learn more what Best Payroll can do for your company, dial 347-729-2355. That's 347-729-2355. Or visit bestpayroll.net. That's bestpayroll.net. Best Payroll, the experienced payroll professionals. Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back with the Mind Your Business show here with Yitzhak Saflis on 77 WABC. By the way, all the previous shows are available on the podcast, and you can hear Stephen Aldridge, Senior Vice President at GoDaddy, Matt Britton, CEO of MRY, was on, Jeffrey Hazlett, former CMO Kodak, best-selling author, Think Big, Act Bigger, Jim Malcolm, President Rico North America, Josh Moore, General Manager at Uber, Steven Sadoff, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Peter Shankman was my guest 2-3 weeks ago, CEO of The Geek Factory, Captain Sully Sullenberger. That was an interesting interview.
Wow.
Yeah, we had some real special guests. Dan Sullivan, President of Strategic Coach, David Yale, CEO of Just Born. And this week, we have Linda Kaplan-Thaler, the chairman of Publicis New York, one of the largest ad agencies in the world. Thank you very much for being with me on the show tonight.
My pleasure.
Another famous marketing campaign that you were behind was the Kodak Moments. Now, I'm 46. I remember that campaign. I grew up with Kodak and, you know, the disc camera when I was 13.
The disc camera. You know, I wrote a jingle for the disc camera.
Really?
That's my first jingle. I'm going to get you with the Kodak disc.
You
just like that.
Well, in my new book that I just came out with, I have a chapter. Each chapter is 3 minutes. It's just the short essays. And of course, I want to give you a copy.
Great.
So I have in there a chapter on Kodak moments. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Kevin? Because that was so memorable, and it framed it so well. And it just, and it, of course, it turned, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, you made it into an experience. You're taking those pictures. It's an experience. Take it away, Linda.
Well, when we were working on Kodak, you understand that this is as a boomer, you know, my advertising life has kind of mirrored the boomer generation. So we were kind of all getting married and having babies around then. And we knew that Kodak was not going to be about just taking pictures and using film roll, because we were competing against Fuji at the time. But all great brands actually serve a role in somebody's lives. It's not just the benefit or you know, the attribute. And the benefit was that time is going to go by. And those pictures become more valuable as time goes by. And we realized that it was America's storyteller. That's what Kodak really was. So we were creating vignettes and moments and music that really were reflecting, you know, baby's first step, baby first smile, because we saw that most of the country, like the pig and the python, was people, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and that was where all the film burn was going to be. You know, as a secondborn, I can tell you, the firstborn, everybody, you take a picture of the first smile, the first wee-wee, the first whatever.
Everything.
The second one is, you know, when you're born and when you get into Vassar. You know, that's it. So we knew that that firstborn film burn was going to be really important. So what was very interesting is we were doing these very emotional commercials, and one day a movie star got on Johnny Carson at the time, and she said, "Oh, my daughter, she took her first step. It was a real Kodak moment."
Wow.
And we had never said this in our advertising, but we're not stupid. And, you know, the best brands are the ones where the consumer comes up with it. The next day we all gather around and we go, "Did you hear what she said?" She called the moment with her child a Kodak moment. And then we wrote a campaign, and I wrote a song called Kodak Moments.
Wow.
And that's so, you know, it really was America that coined the phrase because of the advertising, and then we turned it around and gave it back to them. So,
right. Today with social media, that would be probably a lot easier to spot, but that was great listening to just pick it up in the interview and you...
Absolutely.
Bam, you got it.
Absolutely.
Like, get it in the jar.
Well, one of the things we found with Dawn, Procter & Gamble, we do a lot of work with Procter & Gamble, and Dawn is one of their products. And it was always, you know, very price competitive.
Right.
And their benefit is, you know, cutting grease but gentle on the hands. And somebody on our team discovered several years ago that during the Exxon Valdez crisis, these poor wildlife, these animals that were washed up on the shore, the one product that they needed and that Procter gave them thousands of bottles was Dawn. And we went to the client and said, "You should tell people that Dawn is so efficacious, but it's so gentle. That's why it's being used." And we did a commercial, and it went through the roof. And that's when we realized that people really do buy not just the brand, but the philosophy and the goodness of the brand. And now when I tell people that we do advertising for Dawn, they say, "Oh, that's the brand that saves wildlife." And I go, "Yes."
Wow. You know, it just brings to my mind, I was in the FIT in the late 80s, and my teacher in photography was Irving Schild. I don't know if the name rings a bell. Irving Schild, he shot for DuPont, and one of his famous ones was Mad Magazine.
That was my favorite magazine, Spy versus Spy. So, I love it.
Spy versus Spy, and he shot, or I don't know how he did it, and again, it was before Photoshop.
Right.
He had some shot where the CEO of Exxon was in a room, and the oil is filling up. And he had some, I remember he showed it to the class, and it was like, and again, it was before Photoshop.
Yeah.
And he had something with the Exxon Valdez, and I'll never forget it, because, you know, he was extremely talented. He shot for DuPont and many other Fortune 500 companies. But just to reminisce a little bit.
I love that magazine.
Oh, man. Linda, here's another just incredible question that I would just love to ask someone like yourself. What makes a great idea go viral? How do you create that? What's the mechanics or science or creative behind? How could you make something go viral?
Well, first of all, it's always difficult when clients say, "Make me a video that's going to go viral."
Okay.
Like, you really need to throw a lot of darts on the wall because you don't know what's going to be picked up. And I think that's a problem we talk about in our book, Grit to Great. People are afraid to fail. Clients are afraid to fail. But if you don't get rejected and if you don't fail at things, you can never move forward. I love the story that we talk about in the book of James Dyson, who invented the bagless vacuum cleaner. Mm-hmm. You see a brilliant invention, but what I know is it took him 15 years and he had 5,126 prototypes that totally sucked. Or perhaps I should say that didn't suck. So that was, they didn't work. So, and he says, I got so much more innovation with each failure that went along the way. And so we love to say to clients, you know, if it doesn't go viral, nobody will see it. So you don't have to worry. It's not going to be seen as a failure. But it's, you have to upend things in a way that are incredibly unexpected. And that is sort of the theory of creativity, is when you put two very disparate ideas together. We did a project for the Anti-Defamation League. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of work for Jewish organizations. And the Anti-Defamation League really fights hate crimes and have for 100 years. Everybody. It's not just, you know, fighting anti-Semitism. It's bigotry and gay rights and all of this stuff. And they asked us to come up with a video, you know, and they had very little money. And we said, okay. And we started thinking about all the people that died of hate crimes. Yitzhak Rabin and Frank and Martin Luther King and James Byrd. And somebody in the group, and by the way, I love the philosophy, I used to study improv, of yes and yet, but yes, but never say no to anybody, because the best ideas are the bad ideas that you turn upside down. And someone said, well, why don't we do a video about all the great people that died, and why don't we mourn their loss that they died? So I said, yes, but that might be not so cheerful to watch. What if these people had lived? What would they have accomplished?
Wow.
What if Martin Luther King lived till he was 86? And Anne Frank, how many more Pulitzer Prizes? And Yitzhak Rabin, would we have had permanent peace in the Middle East? So that became the idea of these headlines with these people living and all of the stuff they had accomplished. And someone said, well, I can imagine that that would be very moving. And then someone else in the team said, well, what if Yoko Ono actually gave us the song Imagine? And they said, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Except she saw the idea. She gave it to us for free. John Lennon, the original track. And if you go on and just put in ADL Imagine on YouTube, it went viral and within a week got 1 million views.
Wow.
From people all over the world. ADL said it really changed the face of the organization. But it's having an idea that is so outrageous like that, that you go, but what if? And that's the territory that a lot of people don't want to go that further step and go, well, that's nuts. That's crazy. No. That could be brilliant.
So it's a combination of the client buying in and accepting the agency's suggestions, okay, developing creative, not to be afraid, meaning because it really there's a combination here of the agency being behind it, but the client signing off and saying okay, but when you're developing it, also let everyone know it might fail, and if it does, no one knew about it anyway, so let it go and let's. Okay, but now I guess this brings up the next question is how much testing? We know in the world of marketing, testing is a big thing. Control, test, etc. Do you believe in focus groups? Do you test things beforehand?
Well, the problem with focus groups is people are usually swayed by the strongest person in the room. The Aflac duck died in focus groups.
Wow.
Because everybody said, well, that's offensive, or he's obnoxious, or that's not the proper tone to take with an insurance company. And then they said something else. A well-known psychologist once said to us, when I'm sitting with her in a room with a couple, never listen or pay attention to anything anybody says until you hear the word but.
Wow.
Doctor, my husband, he's a loving man. He's caring. But I think he's having an affair. That's the only thing that matters. And usually, it's you're right. So people were saying, I don't know, I find that duck grating and offensive, but he really makes me laugh. But I was listening. And we convinced the client, you know, with our own money, of course, to do, you know, quantify testing and not qualify testing. But I think less and less clients are doing focus groups. It's also expensive. It's much easier to do things online and one-on-one now.
And then test it that way and then just get a feel. And
yeah. Unless you're so lucky to have clients like ADL that just feel a great idea. We had one recently with Doctors of the World, which is sort of a tiny offshoot, but an amazing organization of Doctors Without Borders. Mm-hmm. And this was 2 years ago, and it was about Halloween time, and the Ebola crisis was in full swing. And they came to us and said, you know, we have no awareness of our company, and we need people to be outfitted, and, you know, what do we do? And we don't have any money, by the way. I love products. I love clients who don't have
any money. You mentioned that in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's great because they'll let you do anything. So at that time, there was this really negative publicity about people wearing these Halloween hazmat suits. And everybody saying it was in such bad taste, making fun of the disease and whatever. But what we did, and this brilliant team that came up with it, said, you know, maybe we can turn the telescope around and put that to our advantage. So the idea that the client was smart enough to buy, it was totally outrageous, was, okay, you're going to wear this for Halloween? Because hundreds of thousands of people had bought the costume. So take a picture and say to the person, you're wearing this for Halloween? Now buy the real costume. And you go online, and for $5 you could buy a real mask, real gloves, and they raised a tremendous amount of money, quadrupled their awareness. But more important, we talk about earned media, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, all for free, did free color page ads of, you're wearing this for Halloween, now buy the real one. And it made the op-ed pages of USA Today, and it was on the Inside Edition and CNN, and won, you know, two Lions at Cannes, and which is probably the least important part of it. But those are the kind of things that you have to have a client who's audacious and brave enough to say, okay, I'll go with that.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Linda Kaplan Thaler as my guest here this evening on 77 WABC and around the world at 77WABC.com. Again, you could follow me on Facebook, Twitter, yitzchoksaftlas.com, yitzchoksaftlas. My Twitter handle is ysaftlas, ysaftlas. Linda Kaplan Thaler is the chairman of Publicis New York, one of the largest ad agencies in the world, part of the Publicis Network. Wow, there's still so much that I want to ask you, and we still have roughly 20 minutes left to the show. Where do you see the role of, with social media exploding and has exploded over the last 10, 15 years, between traditional print media, television, radio, print, newspapers, and online social media, that whole? I'm sure you've been asked this question a million times, but...
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. They did a survey, and they asked consumers under the age of 25, did they spend more time offline or online?
Okay.
And you know what they said? What does that mean?
What?
They had no idea what it meant because they don't consume media that way and they don't think about it that way. Those are terms that were just completely...
Not in the vernacular.
It was not in the vernacular. So the confluence, of course, you know, has just been like a tsunami, and every day you walk into an agency, it's almost a different company. But it becomes more and more important for really making sure that you don't lose what that brand stands for. Because if you make the brand stand for, you know, price, you know, competitive pricing on one level, and that's all my, you know, that's all I know about that car, is that it's cheaper than this other car. If there is no what I call air cover, you know, the ground mm-hmm. cover or the tech, but if there's no air cover that tells me why I want to buy that brand in the first place, if there's no emotional connection to that brand, if that brand could go bust tomorrow and I wouldn't care, if Starbucks went out of business tomorrow, like, I'd be pretty unhappy, even though I only drink decaf. I'd be pretty unhappy. Because Starbucks is not about selling coffee. It's about selling a custom-made morning, right? It's the only time of the day that you can get something the way you want it, right? And that's Howard Schultz had the brilliance to understand that it wasn't a coffee company, you know? It's an experience. So I think the danger is that we're concentrating so much on this bottom of the funnel, right, that we're forgetting about, but what does that brand actually mean? So maybe the brand goes now to the, instead of the bottom, it goes to the top on search engine, but do I even care? You know, when I decide to buy a sneaker, I'm more concerned with, I'm going to get a Nike because I just have a good fit. Now I'll go into the store and figure out which Nike I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem a lot of brands have, is they don't have sort of that air cover branding idea that makes an emotional connection, just like going into a Starbucks. Right. I make the decision going to Starbucks, and then I decide what kind of coffee I'm going to get.
But now if I made, and of course that's all true, but just to hold on to the medium. So let's say the difference between today, everything being social media, traditional media, I just want to hold on to that for a second. Where do you see that heading? Is there a role? Are both important to work as multi-channel?
Yeah. Well, I think what you're going to see more and more is interactive TV. We know that 56 or 60% of the population now, when they're watching TV, they have some kind of smart device. You know, they have their, I know in my house, we don't even have a landline anymore, so the phone is always with us.
Right.
So it's a laptop, it's an iPhone, whatever it is, some kind of a tablet. So you're constantly, you know, looking at something and then looking down and looking at something. And so the interactivity becomes more and more important. And as the media companies become more adept at that, you will be able to, I'm watching Law and Order, which I love. I'm watching Law and Order, but I'd like to know where she got that dress, okay? So I push something to get the dress. The problem that encompasses a lot, you know, with the networks is, well, I don't want you like researching that dress now. I don't want you buying that dress now. I want you to actually watch the freaking programming and the other commercials that are on there that actually pay for you to be able to watch that woman in that dress. So that's where a little bit of a battle comes in.
Right.
But that's happening. But people are not watching less TV. They're actually watching more TV. But we don't call it TV anymore when we do advertising. We just call it video content because, you know, my kids don't even really watch TV. If they'll watch something on their computers, on Hulu or whatever. So there's no concept of television anymore as we know it. It's video content, really.
And let's say print, newspapers, magazines. How do you see that going down the 5 years, 10 years down the road?
Well, I think the problem is when we got to, you know, doing online banners, we pretty much found that nobody reads them. So, you know, and we found also, you know, research has shown that when you have a Facebook, when you have little commercial things on Facebook, the screens sometimes are so small that you can't really see the ad. So I think we have to be very mindful of what people can actually absorb in their brains. One of the things, and it was a very interesting thing that was I saw just on TV today, that, you know, MIT, and we talk about it a lot in Grit to Great, that, you know, we're so distracted. And that, in fact, we really can't do them more than one thing at a time. So if somebody is paying attention to whatever the content is, and then they're supposed to look at this other piece of information, if there's a lot of competition, they may not really understand what it's about. It used to be in the old days of television, obviously, you were kind of stuck. You had to kind of watch that ad, or you had to get up and turn the channel. So it's going to become a really creative exercise and a really deep dive to find the things that work and get monetized. That's the big problem with social media, is people are struggling to find out, is it actually selling? Now, we know, like for the ALS, the Ice Bucket Challenge, that they raised millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
That was proof positive. But most of the time, unless you're measuring awareness or likability, that's probably going to be more effective than saying, did it actually make that person go out and buy that hamburger?
Right. So important. Pesach, we speak about that frequently regarding the social media, to see how it monetized. By the way, your incredible new book, Grit to Great, which, thank you, I'm lucky enough to have an autographed copy from C-Suite. You had mentioned, how's it selling?
It is a national bestseller.
That's amazing.
Robin Cobell, my co-author, we are very happy. It is also a big seller. CNN did a whole thing on parenting. Kelly Wallace did a piece, which actually catapulted the book to bestseller, on are our kids too soft? Do we need to be teaching them more about grit? And so that's a big target, too, not for just people who are in business and entrepreneurs, but also parents.
Parenting.
And it's a big hit in college campuses. I do a lot of speaking everywhere, but definitely at college campuses. It was on Ariana's top list of books to give for people, and it was the top 100 books from, I think it was the Washington Post had a survey, and so it's been hitting a lot of, you know,
that's
high
amazing
points. And I think that the thing is to, you know, and why I think it's so hot right now is because we raised a generation of kids during what was called the self-esteem movement.
Right.
Tell your kids they're amazing, they're unique, they're so special. The first thing I do when I go to college is I say, how many of you got great SAT scores? I go, you know what, you're not that special. What's your IQ? You're not that special.
Because Matt loves it.
No, it's so true. I mean, you know what, I went to City College. Ultimately, City College gave me something that no Ivy League school could, mainly an acceptance letter. But, you know, it's so important for people to understand that the true indicator of success now is going to be your grit quotient. And we define grit as an acronym. I'm an ad guy, so of course we made it to an acronym. GRIT, guts, resilience, initiative, and tenacity.
Yes, I loved it. Yeah.
And in fact, people who have the coveted it factor, you know, who are born prodigies, mm-hmm, only 2% of them accomplish anything. They actually is a negative correlation between success and Mensa IQ. So, and it's the same thing with talent. You know, everybody thinks Michael Jordan, the great talented, whatever. He was cut from his high school varsity basketball team.
Yeah, it's
they didn't think he was good enough. Steven Spielberg couldn't get into film school for a time. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So it really has to do with the stamina and persistence. And what we do in the book is we give grit builds, we give exercises. The great thing about grit is you don't have to be born with it. And it's something you can develop at any age. So we're very proud of it and love to talk about it.
Wow. I mean, in the remaining few minutes that we have so much to cover. And we'll try to cover it all because it's not every day that we have Linda Kaplan Thaler here in studio. By the way, can I ask you publicly, could we do this again in the future?
Every day.
Wow.
I
that's unreal.
My problem is I can't stop talking. So yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
This is a lot of fun.
Especially with the election coming up.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. We're not going to talk about the election. You worked on some incredible campaigns, 92 Clinton Gore, Hillary Clinton's 08, which, okay, Obama, et cetera. This, wow, you know, 08 was a unique year. Let me ask you, what are some of the secrets to a great political advertising campaign?
You know, the interesting thing is, many people, the misnomer is, I vote for the person I love, but many times you vote for the person that you hate the least. It's sad, which is why negative advertising is unfortunately so effective. Now, because of the First Amendment right to free speech, you can say anything you want about another candidate. You can lie, you know. At some point, it may backfire because the lie is so obvious. Right. And yet, the laws in advertising are such that I can't sell you my brand of, you know, Wheat Thins.
Okay.
I can't say it's better than somebody else unless I actually have proof by at least 1,000 people, you know, in a survey. Mm-hmm. So it's actually easier to sell crackers than it... I'm sorry, it's easier to sell the presidency than it is for crackers.
Right.
Crackers being sort of the operative word here, how nuts it all is. And so I find this to be probably one of the most fascinating elections, certainly in my lifetime, because of the rise of these outliers, you know, Bernie Sanders and Trump. And I was on The Apprentice. I met Trump and, you know, he was very nice to us. he was very nice to me. We put his wife, Melania, in one of our Affleck commercials. And she was hysterical. And so I think he liked me because we treated her very nicely. And she was very funny in the spot. So, but I think it's just such a fascinating election because the unpredictability, although in a way you could sort of can predict, is sort of you have an angry, you know, an angry
base
of people.
And fed up with PC and whatever.
Right. But the idea of throwing it on people, whether it's Mexicans or
Muslims.
They're not the reason we have some of the problems we have. And a lot of the problems have in jobs is simply because we have different kinds of jobs now. They're much more software and technology-based as opposed to labor-based. You know, I tell college kids, forget about worrying about your major. 60% of the jobs that will be available to entering freshmen when they graduate have not even been invented yet.
That's incredible. Wow. 4 or 5 years down the line, 60%.
Yeah, and so it's retooling people. It's retooling coal miners to be doing a whole day. First of all, they don't want to be doing coal mining, I'm sure. is to be doing new types of jobs. And that's where it seems like the investment should go in, you know, in job training. That makes sense.
Wow. Talking about the presidential race, I just have to ask, because we actually, our firm a couple of years ago was involved in the Bloomberg for mayor race, specifically within the Jewish demographic. We do ethnic marketing.
I love Bloomberg.
So, well, do you think he's going to jump into the
race? Well, first of all, I have to say that we quote him in the book where he says, I will never be the smartest person in the room, but I can outwork anybody. And that was the point of our book, you know, yeah. And I use him a lot. I don't think he's going to enter the race unless Sanders is the front runner, because if Sanders ends up getting the Democratic nomination, then I think he's probably going to think, we really may have a battle here with the Democrats winning. I don't think he would spoil the party by running independent if Hillary's going to do it, is going to end up being, you know, the nominee. That's my feeling. But I have to say, I love Bloomberg. I wish he could have run forever. I wish he could have been a mayor forever.
Now, if he, do you think there's any decisions on the Republican side that will affect him? Like, if Trump remains a front runner, would that encourage him to do it, or maybe discourage him to do it, because of the business angle?
Yeah, no, I think. Well, first of all, he's a zillion times richer than Trump.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
He's a billy billy many, many. But so unassuming. I sat next to him at a breakfast once, and you know, he takes the train. I mean, he's like such a regular guy.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be more to do with the Sanders Hillary, who ends up, you know, getting the nomination. And I think it's going to be Hillary. I think she just was fabulous at the town hall. She was just so presidential, and meeting her and knowing her and working for her, you know, all that time, she is the smartest person in the room. Bloomberg may say he's not, but she is really the smartest person in the room.
Mm.
So,
and there's no way to predict what's going to happen on the Republican side, is there?
You know,
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I don't know. You got a lot of people joining the bandwagon for Trump now, so yeah. I think he's going to get it. I think he's going to get it.
Wow.
But I could be wrong.
A last question or two. As chairman of Publicis New York, a firm with nearly 1,000 people, I mean, this is a very, obviously, incredible, serious operation. What advice do you have for someone looking to get, a listener to the program, looking to get into the creative field? Are there any certain telltale signs that, like, they should then develop their talent further? How would you advise someone?
If it depends what area they're going to go in. If they're going to go into sort of the research planning area, then, you know, having a background in anthropology, sociology, those things which used to be considered kind of, well, how are you going to get a job as an anthropologist, you know, really are beneficial now. We really rely on those kinds of learnings from people. I think if you're going into the creative end, if I did it today, I wouldn't have started by building an agency. You know, when we first built the agency, we called it an agency and entertainment company.
Okay.
I guess we sort of had a premonition that things were going to go in that direction. But there's such a confluence because of content creation between entertainment and advertising that I would say to people, you know, really perfect your art of communicating through video. Video in pictures is the way to go now more than words. And if your talent is terrific, there are people buying content. The thing that everybody has a loss for is content.
Right.
We need it, and we need it to be great.
So. Great content.
Great content.
Are there any particular tests you recommend for a person to take? Technically Colby, Myers-Briggs, or anything that could kind of reveal if a person really has great creative skills? Or is it that just comes out and you see... you see how exciting they are on video. Or
yeah, I think that if you are not passionate to do something over and over and over and perfect it and perfect it, and something we talk about in the book. We have, by the way, a great grit quiz that thousands of people have taken. So if you go to grittogreat.com, and it really
grittogreat.com.
Yeah, can really assess, and so many people have taken it now. And it gives you an idea of your level. But if you are not passionate about something, so if you're, you know, writing something. I used to be in theater, and I finally gave it up because I did not have the passion. But when I discovered advertising, I went, now this I could stay up all night rewriting and rewriting and rewriting. And it's that ability to be able to get rejected, and it's the ability to, every time you're knocked down, go back up again, go back up. And if you're not able to do that, you're not going to succeed, certainly, in the ad business. That's for sure. It's all about rejection.
Linda, as we close out the show, I can't thank you enough for joining me here on 77 WABC, Mind Your Business program. Any final thoughts for the listeners?
Just understand that for every Olympiad or every Pulitzer Prize person walking around, there are a million other people who have the potential to do that. You could be one of them. Develop your perseverance, develop your stamina, develop your grit, and you can get there.
Incredible. That was Linda Kaplan Thaler, chairman of Publicis New York, one of the largest ad agencies in the world, best-selling author in the Advertising Hall of Fame. Grit to Great is available in every bookstore nationwide, worldwide. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. In fact, there's even a great website, grittogreat.com. That's G-R-I-T, grittogreat.com. Linda, thank you so much for joining me here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Incredible. We're going to take a short commercial break and then wrap up right after the commercials. Thank you so much.
Best Payroll delivers the affordable payroll solutions you need so that you could focus on your business. Today's payroll laws are complicated and constantly changing. Why should you have to worry about keeping yourself up to date with these details when you can rely on Best Payroll's fully bonded tax service to take care of it for you? Best Payroll has been managing the payroll needs of small to mid-sized companies across the country since 1989. Their experienced and dedicated professionals are committed to providing you with cost-effective payroll management solutions. Why spend your time, money, and effort handling your business's payroll when you could rely on Best Payroll to get the job done right at a price you can't beat? To learn more what Best Payroll can do for your company, dial 347-729-2355. That's 347-729-2355. Or visit bestpayroll.net. That's bestpayroll.net. Best Payroll, the experienced payroll professionals.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. The Mind Your Business Show, 77 WABC. By the way, we get great feedback from the listeners about the incredible level of guests that we get on this show. Tonight was no different, having Linda Kaplan Thaler, chairman of Publicis New York, one of the largest ad agencies in the world, a team of nearly a thousand creatives. In case you missed this show, it will be available on the podcast, on the channel. It's all free. And the easiest way to access it is by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Scroll down. You'll see the incredible lineup of all the guests that we had. Steven Sadoff, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue. Matt Britton, CEO of MRY. And, of course, tonight's show will be up within a day or two. That's the one with Linda Kaplan Thaler, chairman of Publicis New York. Wow, what a show. We talked about advertising, marketing, the world in general, social media, print media, the presidential race. She feels Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. We'll see how that shapes out. We covered so much. We talked about how to make a great campaign go viral and not to be afraid. If a creative agency is suggesting an idea, hear it out, hear its merits, and don't be afraid to try it. And if it fails, okay, you get to try it on another day, or you get to try another concept. Don't be afraid to be creative. She said, don't stay within just a very comfortable comfort zone. Be creative. Get out there. Anyone, just Google Aflac and the Aflac campaign. Look how creative those campaigns are. And it's all because it was a gutsy creative agency and a great client that gave the okay. Well, this wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business here with Yisroch Saflis on 77 WABC. Stay tuned for Red Eye and tune in again next Sunday night at 11 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.